This is the Draft Room with Brian Lowe on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. The Draft Room is your exclusive look inside the NFL Draft. Think you know who will go in the top 10, whose stock is rising, and whose is falling?
It's a lot of guys with good value on those.
Who will Mr. Irrelevant be this year? You'll find out as we go inside the Draft Room with Brian Lowe.
Welcome one and all to the Draft Room. I am Brian Lowe. You are now inside the Draft Room for the next hour. We're closing in on 2 weeks until the 2010 NFL Draft is finally upon us. Very exciting time, and we have a very, and I mean very exciting show lined up for you here in the Draft Room on Patriots.com radio. We've got a couple of guests. We've got your emails that we're going to take. We want to hear from you at webradio@patriots.com. You can ring us up as well, 508-543-7482. There was some blockbuster NFL news over the course of the last week that will certainly have ripple effects on the draft. And, you know, some minor Patriots news that could possibly have effects on what the Patriots do in the draft. And we already have an emailer checking in on that sort of piece of news. Todd McShay of ESPN and Scouts, Inc. is going to be joining us in the next few minutes, taking a few questions from us. It's a very busy time, obviously, for a guy like McShay, but he's been generous enough to offer up a few minutes of his time. We'll talk about some NFL draft storylines and certainly some Patriots storylines as well. If you happen to have a specific question you'd like to get in for Todd, time is of the essence. Send us an email, webradio@patriots.com, in the next few minutes, and we'll try to get it in for Todd. And if we don't get it in for Todd, later on in the show, during our second half hour, Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly, not to be confused with Patriots Football Weekly, although they both go by PFW, but Eric Edholm will be on board with us here inside the Draft Room talking about the draft. Pro Football Weekly puts together a really comprehensive draft publication, and they had really one of the most intriguing mock drafts that I've seen in these last few days that caught my eye, at least as far as the top five, top ten are concerned, and we'll talk about that in the second half of this show. So we're coming your way each and every Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern here on Patriots.com. Kicked off this five-week series of draft shows last Wednesday. Had a good time doing it. Took a few emails. Had a guest as well, and we want to hear from you. Now, the blockbuster NFL news that I mentioned at the top of the show, of course, is the Donovan McNabb trade dealt from the Philadelphia Eagles inside the division to the Washington Redskins, brought to my mind immediately the Patriots trade of Drew Bledsoe from the Patriots to the Bills. Now, the big difference, of course, with that trade and what the Eagles and Redskins did this year is that the Patriots made that trade after Tom Brady had already been the starting quarterback for a full season. And not just any full season, but a Super Bowl championship season, whereas the Eagles have a highly rated prospect in Kevin Cobb, who they drafted a couple of years ago, has gotten in a few games and did very well for them, replacing Donovan McNabb during injuries, and they're putting their full their whole team in his hands. So it's an interesting trade, of course. Now, what's most interesting, at least as it relates to the NFL draft, which, as the name of this show might make you realize, we're talking about how it impacts the draft, is that the Redskins draft fourth overall. Now, under their new regime, Mike Shanahan, Bruce Allen, there certainly is a sense that they'd be looking for their quarterback of the future and that they're not going to rely on the likes of Jason Campbell, Rex Grossman, who they brought in. And conventional wisdom was they might, if they can't get Sam Bradford, if Sam Bradford doesn't fall to them or they couldn't trade up, that they would pounce on Jimmy Clausen of Notre Dame right there at that fourth pick. Well, I guess stranger things have happened than seeing the Redskins go with a quarterback in the first round now, especially if there's a reason to believe that a contract extension for Donovan McNabb can't be worked out. But you've got to feel it's pretty hard to believe that the Redskins would take a quarterback in the first round. Now, this could really shake up how the first half of the first round looks, because the Redskins now are probably in a much bigger need for an offensive lineman, and there are some gems at tackle, whether it be Russell Okung, Brian Bulaga, Trent Williams, Anthony Davis. There are some guys. They'll have their potentially their pick of any of the top tackles, or maybe Russell Okung is already gone. That's a long shot, but maybe, and they have other guys that they can pick. So that's very interesting from the Redskins' perspective in the sense of what do they do now with that fourth pick, and do they still have a need for a quarterback to develop? And I'm not talking about a sixth, seventh round guy. I'm talking, are they now maybe candidates to take guys like Colt McCoy, Dan LeFevre, guys like that, whether it be the second round, third round, fourth round? That's very interesting, and we're going to talk to Todd McShay and Eric Edholm about how that trade impacts the draft. Now, from the Eagles' perspective, some of the thoughts I've seen are that for the Eagles at number 24, does Tim Tebow intrigue them enough to pounce in the first round? Now, they've got Kevin Cobb, and they've got Michael Vick. They obviously are very confident that Kevin Cobb is their quarterback of the future, but there's probably a need there for another young quarterback to be their backup. Michael Vick isn't going to be the backup quarterback in Philadelphia forever. He probably would either come in as a starter if he were to somehow beat out Kevin Cobb. Maybe he'll beat him up too. I'm not saying that. Beat out Kevin Cobb in training camp, or Cobb gets injured and Vick steps in. But long term, he's not going to be the backup in Philly forever, so they might be looking for a quarterback. Would Tim Tebow intrigue them? And we'll see if any mock drafts have that. We'll also see what Todd McShay and Eric Edholm think about the move that Philadelphia made and how it impacts them in the draft. Now, much like last week, our first show, we had big NFL-related news in that Sam Bradford had his pro day. Does that solidify him for the first pick in the draft? And then we had Patriots. I'm not going to say it was news, but Patriots innuendo, gossip, and that was Tim Tebow going out for dinner in the North End with Bill Belichick and Nick Caserio. We talked about that. Now, the Patriots news item of this week that could impact the draft is the signing of Damian Lewis, and that has not been yet made official by the Patriots. He's an interior defensive lineman. He's played for the Rams and also the Panthers. Maybe he projects to more of a defensive end for the Patriots in the 3-4. Is a signing like that enough to impact what the Patriots might want to do in the first round of the draft? And that brings us to our first email of this show. And this one comes from a guy who emailed us last week. And in the early first 70 minutes of the draft room this season, I guess Sam from Brighton, I guess, would be our star emailer. He's emailed us now three times, and I love it, Sam. Sam says, Brian, the signing of Damian Lewis must change your mock Patriots draft pick of Jared Audrick. They no longer need a 3-4 defensive end. The rotation of Damian Lewis and Mike Wright should be enough. So if it changed, what is it? Well, Sam is referring to my thoughts last week that Penn State defensive end, or I should say Penn State defensive lineman, he played more tackle for Penn State, Jared Audrick, would be the right fit for the Patriots in the first round. Got to be honest, Sam, the signing of Damian Lewis to me, while I think that's a good, solid depth move, it does absolutely nothing to change my thoughts of what the Patriots would do in the first round, and I truly don't think it changes the Patriots' thoughts at all. Now, I'm not saying that there couldn't be a free agent move the Patriots would make that doesn't affect the draft. Now, the one thing that comes to mind is 6 years ago, if you remember going into the 2004 draft, Antoine Smith was gone. He had been the Patriots running back for 3 years. He was gone. And I know for me, that was the first draft season that I was heavily involved in what we do here on Patriots.com. And to me, and to a lot of prognosticators, running back was the clear-cut number one need for the Super Bowl champion Patriots, and there's no doubt that's where they're going to go in the first round. Well, they traded for Corey Dillon 4 days before the draft. That type of move, you can understand, impacts what the Patriots were going to do in the first round. They ended up drafting Cedric Cobbs later in the draft. I'm going to go on the record as saying that one didn't really work out. The signing of Damian Lewis, while nice, no. Doesn't impact what I think the Patriots are going to do. If Jared Audrick is their guy, and to me, he makes a lot of sense. He's a blue-chip guy on the defensive line. They value those guys early in the draft. To me, as I'm doing my mock draft, Sam, I'm not changing that pick because of Damian Lewis. Because I think Damian Lewis, under a one-year deal, Damian Lewis is the type of guy that he might not even make the team. I'm not saying he is or isn't. I'm saying a guy like that, a low-level, contract-wise, a low-level free agent guy, he might not even make the team, and he's certainly not part of the long-term future at defensive line. A guy like Jared Audrick could come in and not start for them this year. He could be in the rotation a la Myron Pryor last year. Because keep in mind, the Patriots in the last 10 months have lost Richard Seymour and Jarvis Green, two of their top five defensive linemen. So far, they've replaced them with Ron Brace, Myron Pryor, Damian Lewis. You could also say Daryl Richard, who they took in the draft. Now, none of those four, to me, have proven yet that they can be long-term answers at defensive line. Jared Audrick would probably vault above all of those. Now, they all play different specific positions on the line. Audrick would vault above all of those guys in the defensive line rotation, in my opinion. Sam also brings up a couple of scenarios. He was a big scenario guy last week. I love these with the Patriots' first four picks. Scenario one, Jermaine Gresham, the tight end in the first round, and then Jerry Hughes, Aurelius Ben, and Tim Tebow in the second round for the Patriots. To me, Sam, I kind of like those guys. I just don't see them going three offensive skill positions in the first round. I'd be surprised but not stunned if they go Jermaine Gresham in the first round. I just think they can get pretty decent value at tight end in the second round because I think that's a major need for them, and I'd be surprised if they don't take a tight end with one of their top four picks. Just don't think it's going to be Gresham in the first round. Stranger things have happened, though. Jerry Hughes with that first pick in the second round, or their first pick in the second round, would be a steal to me. Texas Christian, outside linebacker, maybe a conversion type. I think that would be a great pick. Aurelius Ben, solid wide receiver. Didn't stand out to me. There were other wide receivers that stood out to me for the Patriots. And then Tebow, I'll say what I said last week. The absolute earliest I would say you could take Tim Tebow for the Patriots would be that last pick in the second round. But to me, I wouldn't take him in either of the top two rounds. I think there's more momentum now that Tebow could go in the first round. Wouldn't touch him there. I think he's a third-round guy. I think he's a guy Belichick would like to have. I just don't see them going after him in the first two rounds. They have too many needs. Quickly, Sam's scenario number two has wide receiver Demaryius Thomas in the first round, and then Sean Lee, Ricky Sapp, and Jimmy Graham. Sean Lee, not sure who he's referring to there, but Demaryius Thomas, the wide receiver, in the first round. I like it. He's coming off an injury, probably too much of a risk to go in the first round in general, but probably not for the Patriots. I don't see them taking a wide receiver, a risky wide receiver there. Love Ricky Sapp. I like Ricky Sapp a lot in the second round. He's a guy that's late first round into the second. Interesting guy, absolutely, out of Clemson. And then a very intriguing guy in Jimmy Graham. What we have going on Patriots.com, we have our tight end draft preview with myself and Andy Hart. Andy has very high opinion of Jimmy Graham, former basketball player at Miami. Tall, sort of not the specific mold of a primo blocking tight end, I would say, in the NFL, but could have some receiving capabilities. You obviously bring to mind Antonio Gates and Tony Gonzalez, guys who used to be basketball players that step in the NFL. Jimmy Graham, second round, to me, would be too early. I think the Aaron Hernandez types, Anthony McCoy, Rob Gronkowski, are more second-round tight ends that I think the Patriots would go after. But I love your thoughts there on these scenarios. You're in the draft room. This is web radio at Patriots.com. That's how you can reach us. We love hearing from you. We've already gotten a couple of emails in the book, and we've got a few more to get to. 508-543-7482 is our phone number. We're going to be hearing from Todd McShay, hopefully pretty soon, and then Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly in our second half hour. A lot of draft news, nuggets, and information to get to, and there's no shortage here in the draft room. We're coming your way each and every Wednesday here on Patriots.com. We had an email here from Peter in Orlando who has a question about Myron Roll. What about Myron Roll for a late-round cornerback? I think he can step in right away and is a low risk and has a good head. And then he gives us his top six. I like Myron Roll later in the draft. He's obviously a very smart, bright guy. We know his background skipped out on a full season at Florida State, which was very interesting. Myron Roll, an interesting target for a lot of teams in the fifth, sixth, seventh round probably. That's where he'd step in. On the phone joining us right now, we're very happy to have Todd McShay of ESPN.com, ESPN and Scouts Inc. Joining us. Todd McShay has been great. We talked to him at the Combine, and he was here for a really good event the other night, a season ticket holder event talking about the draft. Todd, thanks for joining us.
No problem, man. It was a lot of fun being down at the stadium, Gillette Stadium, and appreciated the crafts doing it. I'll tell you what, it's the first event of that kind that I've ever been to or ever even heard of. The 32 teams, it's the only pre-draft party I've ever heard of, and hopefully we can do it again. We had, Teddy Bruschi and Michael Smith and the guys. We had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was a great event and definitely the first of its kind here. And I'm sure you're right. I think it was kind of unique, and the Patriots always have a draft day party, and they still are, but this was a very good draft preview. Todd, let's first talk about this big NFL story before we get to the Patriots, the trade of Donovan McNabb and how it impacts the draft. Obviously, it impacts what Washington's probably going to do with that fourth pick. It could also impact what Philadelphia does later in the first round. You know, I think I've seen Tim Tebow's name mentioned. I know you had up on ESPN.com, you're top nine, and you don't have Jimmy Clausen going to Washington. Tell us what you think Washington does there at number four and maybe what Philadelphia does later in the first round.
I think the Redskins now, the focus becomes offensive tackle. Now, there's a lot of stories about Albert Haynesworth and them, the Redskins possibly trying to trade him because he's not happy with the 3-4 defensive scheme and isn't really willing to listen to Coach Haslett about the potential of playing a different type of role than maybe what he thinks in that system. So if they do trade him, maybe Ndamukong Suh if he's still on the board at that number four spot. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, if all things stay the same, the Redskins need to find an offensive tackle to protect McNabb and to solidify that offensive line with Chris Samuel's retirement. And I think Okung's the perfect fit. You know, when I went through it, nine is a possibility for Jimmy Clausen. You know, some people are saying the Oakland Raiders at eight. I think he falls out of the top ten. I really do, and I think I'd wound up putting him at 17 to San Francisco. 14 is a possibility with the Seattle Seahawks. I know they brought in Charlie Whitehurst, but they could certainly draft Clausen with that second of two picks in the first round. And then finally, as far as the Tim Tebow stuff is concerned, it doesn't surprise me because I think people are trying to self-promote, and anytime you say Tim Tebow's name, people listen, you know, good, bad, or indifferent. And I think at this point, people are just trying to find a way to sneak him in so that, you know, it's a big discussion. Maybe he comes off the board late in the first round. I will be surprised, and I think it will be a big mistake if a team does. Yeah, second round is even a reach to me, but I guess I could understand, even if it were a team like the Patriots with three picks in round two. But, you know, with such a long development ahead of him and so little that he can offer in his first few years, I find it hard to believe a team like Philadelphia would spend one of their picks that they need another spot on a player in Tebow that just isn't going to contribute for the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, and that's the risk with Tebow, I guess, is how early can you take a guy who clearly is a big-time development guy. Let's transition, while we have you here for a few minutes, to the Patriots. And, you know, we've gotten some emails today about, well, hey, does a guy like Damian, the signing of a guy like Damian Lewis impact what they might do in the first round? Do moves that they make in free agency impact what they do? Where do you see the Patriots as of right now going in the first round?
Well, you know, I do think by going out and signing some of these free agents as they have, I think it removes the handcuffs to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. Would they like to still find an upgraded defensive end and a young player that could develop into a full-time starter? Of course. I mean, Damian Lewis has been a full-time starter in the NFL, but never in a 3-4. Right. You know, obviously the Patriots like to rotate around and do different things, but ideally my assumption is that Lewis would be a rotation player who would provide a lot in terms of an interior pass rush and disruption, but maybe not an every down player. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I still think the Patriots are looking for defensive linemen. And I think some of the guys from a year ago need to step up and play well also. I think that's part of the issue. To me, pass rusher is the number one priority for the Patriots. It doesn't mean that that's where they're, you know, definitely going to go, and they've gone a lot of different directions in the draft. But the key is going to be finding a pass rusher that's worthy of that pick. And you sit at 22, and I guess the big question is Sergio Kindle still going to be around, the Texas defensive end outside linebacker? If he is, I think he's a good fit. He's 6'3", 250, has room in his frame to get bigger, and can get after the quarterback off the edge. I think I wound up giving him Everson Griffin, defensive end from USC in this recent mock draft, just because he seems to fit what they look for. He's a guy with some power. He can hold the point of attack and really seal off the edge versus the run, and he also can get some pressure on the quarterback as well. I know he's not a perfect fit in terms of dropping in the coverage, but the number one and number two priorities are getting after the quarterback and sealing off the edge versus the run, and Griffin can do both of those things. So it'll be interesting. And if neither of those guys are there, if they're not interested, you know, then they could basically take any player at any position because they have several other secondary needs, but I think that primary need is finding a pass rusher.
Now, another primary need is obviously playmakers on offense, and we've seen some of the issues that they have, whether it be age at running back, injuries at wide receiver, a complete void at tight end. With these three second-round picks, I'm wondering what your thoughts on who are the most likely offensive skill position players they might select. We have an emailer, Paul from London, who wants to know about Damian Williams at, from USC. And I know that at the event on Saturday night, you spoke highly about Toby Gerhart. What do you think about those two guys, and who else might be might they be targeting on the offensive skill positions?
Yeah, I'll say one thing, too. If Demaryius Thomas, the wide receiver, I know he's not a perfect, you know, Patriot fit in terms of a guy who can separate and do all those things, but it might be hard to pass on such a great talent if he's still there at number 22.
Interesting.
And also, Jermaine Gresham could be on the board. And I know it might not be, you know, the Patriots have spent some picks on tight ends, and they've had a hard time finding the exact fit. But there might be an opportunity to draft the premier, you know, pass-catching tight end in this year's class out of Oklahoma with that pick as well. But when you get into the second round, I think Rob Gronkowski from Arizona, assuming he's still there early in the second round with one of those three picks, I think he'd be a perfect fit. He can catch the ball. We talked about it the other night, the Mark Bavaro type, and I think he, you know, to a certain extent fits that mold in terms of being able to catch the ball and also provide something in terms of the blocking game. Dennis Pitta from BYU is another tight end to look out for. Aaron Hernandez, Doran Dickerson, Hernandez from Florida, Dickerson from Pittsburgh, both undersized guys but can come in and catch the football and make an impact down the middle of the field. They would be later in the second round. Wide receiver, I do think Damian Williams would be a good fit. Golden Tate's the name you're going to hear a lot out of Notre Dame. Not a great route runner, a little bit undersized, but he's tremendous after the catch and very competitive. Aurelius Ben, if he slipped from Illinois, would be, I think, a good value early in the second round. Tate after that, and then Damian Williams and Eric Decker from Minnesota. Those would be the wide receivers. And then at running back, I think you wait, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, instead of reaching for Ryan Matthews from Fresno State in the first, or even reaching for Gerhart early in the second, wait till the later second or even the fourth round. I mean, late in the second round, you still may get a Dexter McCluster or a Joe McKnight. McCluster from Ole Miss, the small scat back type, and McKnight from USC, who has some versatility as well. Or even later on, go get a Ben Tate from Auburn or an Anthony Dixon from Mississippi State, two backs to play over 220 pounds. So there's a lot of depth to this class. And I think when you start talking about the second round, whether they trade back into the third round, get another pick in the third, or skip the third round and go to the fourth, which is where they sit right now, there are a lot of skill players at running back, tight end, and wide receiver for the Patriots to cash in on.
All right, Todd McShay, we know you have a tight schedule this time of year. We appreciate you joining us for a few minutes here and, of course, joining us on Saturday night for the draft preview party. We'll let you go now. Thank you very much for your insight, and maybe we'll catch you again in the draft room.
Sounds good, man. It's good talking to you. Have a great day.
All right, Todd McShay, ESPN and Scouts, Inc. Appreciate him joining us for a little while. Definitely rattling off a whole bunch of names there, and really a ton of names that intrigue me and probably intrigue the Patriots. He definitely thinks pass rush is the way to go in the first round, and certainly sees the need for playmakers, offensive playmakers, in the second round. We appreciate him joining us here in the draft room. Webradio at Patriots.com is one way to reach us. 508-543-7482 is another way to reach us. We do have Eric Edholm coming up in the second half hour. I want to get to a couple more of your emails here before we take a quick break halfway through this show. Back to Peter in Orlando, who was asking about Myron Roll, and I do think Myron Roll would be a low-risk, possibly high-reward guy for teams later in the draft. I don't see him going before the fourth round, but I could see him being a fit, certainly from the intelligence standpoint, from the field awareness standpoint, and I do think he's maybe a little bit underrated when it comes to what he actually does on the field. Now, Peter mentions his top six. His top six players for the Patriots: Sergio Kindle, he has number one; Aaron Hernandez, the Florida tight end, number two; Brandon Spikes, number three; Marty Gilliard, four; Tim Tebow, five; and Myron Roll, six. He thinks all six can step in right away and have a good role on the team. Three of those six are University of Florida guys, and another one is Florida State. I think he has a little bit of Florida bias, I think, Peter. But here's the thing. I think Sergio Kindle, I wasn't overly impressed with him, at least as far as for the Patriots at 22 early in the draft process, I'm coming around. I think he'd be a really good fit, and don't underestimate the Will Muschamp factor, the Texas defensive coordinator who always produces some very good NFL defensive players. Aaron Hernandez, tight end out of Florida, I like him a lot. I like Rob Gronkowski better, but I think Aaron Hernandez could step in and immediately be a fit as a pass catcher at tight end. Not a terrible blocker either. Brandon Spikes, linebacker, Florida. Tougher one to project to me. I think he had great production at Florida, and I think he's a guy that Belichick has probably done more homework on than maybe just about anybody other than Tebow, because he spends time down at Florida, knows all the inner workings of Urban Meyer and what he does down there, and probably is intrigued by Brandon Spikes. Just don't know if he's a good enough fit early in this draft. Marty Gilliard, wide receiver, Cincinnati, like him a lot. I really liked when I was watching film on him. He had great production at Cincinnati in bad weather games, it seems. You bring in a wide receiver here, if you know a guy can compete and play well in bad weather, especially a guy who has to catch the ball, has to hold on to the ball, I'm not saying that a guy like a guy from USC can't do that, but when you know a guy can, to me, that just adds a little bit of value to me. I think he's a really good fit for the Patriots maybe in the second round. I've given my thoughts on Tebow. I think Todd McShay and I are sort of along the same lines there. And Myron Roll, yeah, like him. I certainly wouldn't say he's one of the top six Patriot targets, but wouldn't be stunned if we see him here with the Patriots later in the draft. This is the Draft Room here on Patriots.com. My name is Brian Lowe. We still want to hear from you in the next half an hour here on the show, web radio at Patriots.com, 508-543-7482. We're going to take a break and come right back with a very, very interesting mock draft. Stay tuned.
Hey, Brian, it's Dad. I heard you won Patriots season tickets for life. Maybe we could grab a game together.
Who's this again?
It's Dad.
What kind of joke is this? You're not my dad.
No, I'm pretty sure I'm your dad.
Yeah, third one today. Okay, Dad, tell me, when's my birthday?
Oh, come on, Bri. You won Patriot season tickets for life. And you want to talk about your birthday?
I'm hanging up.
Don't hang up on your father.
Oh, yeah. They'll be coming out of the woodwork once they find out you won season tickets for life on the New England Patriots instant game. You could also win $1 million instantly, plus a boatload of other great prizes.
I could do one of those quick adoptions. We could go to the game together and talk about the old days.
We don't have old days.
Good point.
Bye, Daddy.
Pick up the new Patriots instant game from the MassGate Lottery, masslottery.com.
So, Pat, what time does our flight get in?
It says here American Airlines flight 505 gets in at 7:05.
Perfect. Game starts at 7:30. I suppose you know our gate number, too?
Yep. It says so right here on my phone, Brian.
Yeah, you think you know everything because you have one of those smartphones.
What's wrong? You're jealous because I can check AA.com, get flight info, gates and times, pretty much anything flight-related?
I like to keep it simple. You know, that's how I roll. I'm old school. So I travel with one of these.
Brian, that's a cordless phone.
Right. No cord.
From your home.
That's right.
How's that working out for you?
To be honest, the range is somewhat limited. But only when I travel.
Find all the flight info you need for the big game or the big meeting at aa.com/mobile. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
Okay, so to recap, these are last year's sales results, and here's how we stand now. I need some clutch players who can get us some numbers up on the board. Ted.
Yes, sir.
In the fourth quarter.
Fourth quarter.
We've come from behind in the fourth quarter before. Ted,
what?
I need you here in the shotgun. Put on this helmet.
It's a garbage can.
Do it.
But it's dark in here.
Susan!
Yes?
What? You're going to reverse right and then break left at the cubicle.
What?
I am.
Let's go!
Mr. Krevelin?
That was awkward.
Think football? Bank football. Get Patriots banking only from Bank of America. Get the Patriots logo on your checks, debit card, and your Patriots Extra Points credit card. Use Extra Points rewards to get tickets or even stand on the sidelines during pregame warm-ups. Plus, you get a bonus match on your Keep the Change savings. To get Patriots banking, go to a banking center or bankofamerica.com/patriots.
You got?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
What?
You can take the trash can off now.
What?
Keep the Change patent pending. Credit card programs are issued and administered by FIA Card Services and Bank of America and a member of FDIC. Copyright 2009, Bank of America Corporation.
Hello?
Now's your chance. Hit up B-Low in the draft room at 508-543-7482 or email webradio@patriots.com.
Welcome back to the Draft Room here on a Wednesday in the month of April. No better time if you want to talk about the draft. We are just about 2 weeks away from draft day. That comes up tomorrow. Tomorrow is 2 weeks away, sorry. And we're rolling along here in the draft room. Just want to mention, as I was going through Sam from Brighton's scenarios, and he had Sean Lee. Sean Lee, the inside linebacker from Penn State, I was thinking of someone else, and I was like, wait a minute, I gotta get my thoughts together on Sean Lee. Hadn't seen him anywhere that early, but he is the inside linebacker at Penn State, along the lines of Jared Audrick. Hadn't seen much film on him yet, but he is an intriguing prospect, so just want to get that out there for Sean. Paul from London, one of our favorite emailers during the year when we do the fantasy lowdown here on Patriots.com. Paul has a few Patriots and non-Patriots draft questions. First of all, he says... Sergio Kindle, Jared Audrick, Golden Tate, and Marquise Pouncey. Let's say they're all available at number 22. Who do you select and why? Well, I'm on record as saying Jared Audrick would be my guy among those. I would have to imagine that Audrick is probably the most likely of the four to not be there at 22, based on mock drafts I've seen, based on he seems to be a bit of a high riser. Sergio Kindle is probably looking to go around there. Haven't seen too many people having Golden Tate go earlier than 22. And then Marquise Pouncey is right in that mix. To me, I think defensive line and offensive line are the areas to target if you're trying to figure out what the Patriots are going to do. On the surface, you say to yourself, offensive line, that's not their biggest need. And no, it isn't. They have a very good offensive line, probably six, maybe seven deep going into this season. But when you rattle off all the names of their current offensive linemen, how many of them do you truly think are long-term answers at their positions? And Logan Mankins is currently in a bit of a contract, I'm certainly not going to say dispute, but scenario. He's an unsigned, restricted free agent. What if that doesn't end well? Other than him, certainly Sebastian Vollmer is part of the future. Is Matt Light part of the future? Is Dan Copen part of the future? Is Stephen Neal part of the future? Is Nick Kazier part of the future? To me, unless you're talking about the future being September 2010, I don't necessarily see it. I think Marquise Pouncey would be a very good selection, the center out of Florida. We always mention a lot of these Florida guys. I think Marquise Pouncey is a very possible Patriot selection. So, Paul, I'd go Jared Audrick 1, Marquise Pouncey 2, Sergio Kindle 3, Golden Tate 4. Not that I don't like Golden Tate. I like him a lot. I just think you might be able to get him in the second round, or if not him, another one of the very deep wide receiver class. Number two question from Paul sort of asked this of Todd McShay. Damian Williams, wide receiver of USC. What do you think of taking him at number 44? Well, ties into what I said about Golden Tate. I love Damian Williams. There's been a bit of a knock on USC wide receivers of late. A lot of them haven't panned out. I think Damian Williams is a surefire guy. I really think he's got the right size and athleticism and production. Like Damian Williams a lot among all the wide receivers I saw. His number three question is something we're going to get to with Eric Edholm coming up from Pro Football Weekly. The Lions, any chance of them selecting Russell Okung instead of Dominican Sue or Gerald McCoy? Well, Pro Football Weekly's mock draft, their latest mock draft, has them doing just that. So, yes, I would say there is a chance. As long as one respectable mock draft says that, Paul, I'm going to say certainly there's a chance. I don't think I would do it, but stranger things have happened. We'll find out what Eric thinks about that. And then number four question, what round will the Patriots select a punter? Very good question. Keep in mind Zoltan Mesko, Michigan State. What round? It wouldn't be before the sixth or seventh round, at least as far as how the Patriots' current draft is looking. They might make trades. They very well might. But you've got the first pick in the one pick in the first round, three in the second round, nothing in the third, one in the fourth, nothing in the fifth. And then they've got seven picks in the sixth or seventh round. The fourth round, I would say, is too early to take a punter. However, they took Steven Gostkowski in the fourth round, and he's a kicker. I don't see it happening this time. I would say sixth or seventh round. At the earliest, they'll take a punter, but I do expect them to take a punter, and I keep Zoltan Mesko in mind out of Michigan State. Paul says, really enjoyed the show last week. It adds a new dimension to the Pats coverage of the draft, along with the PFW guys. And, Paul, we thank you for listening and always chiming in here on the Draft Room web radio at patriots.com, 508-543-7482. Next email comes from Fred, who said, no, not Fred Kirsch, not Fred Kirsch. Fred says, I've been watching all sorts of YouTube videos, working hard to get my fill of potential 2010 draft picks. Obviously, everybody wants a thrill, but I think what we should just take that we should just take the best player available on the board when we pick, even if it is an offensive line player like Florida's Marquise Pouncey. Well, I agree with you there, Fred. Losing franchises like the Raiders have been paying anything to roll the dice on players, and if we want to stay at the top of the NFL, we can't afford to do it even just one more time. I know that the NFL draft is not an exact science. Some teams will win, some will lose, but hopefully after the draft we won't sing the blues. I see where he's going here. The last decade has been like a wonderful dream or movie for Patriots fans, and we need to make sure that the movie never ends, but goes on and on and on and on. Don't stop believing, Pats fans. This is going to be a great draft. Well, as Brian, our producer, and I are now getting a grip of what Fred is saying here, maybe if I wasn't consumed with trying to keep the show going, I maybe would have caught on sooner, Fred, but I'm not the brightest guy in the world. Certainly not between 12 and 1. Well done there, Fred. Very well done. Everybody does want a thrill. The beat does go on and on and on, Fred. Back to the point, though, Marquise Pouncey, I do think Marquise Pouncey would be a good pick. I don't think they're going to go... I think he'd be the only offensive lineman they'll take at number one, short of a guy like Brian Bulaga, Trent Williams, Anthony Davis falling way down to them, and they see a blue-chip tackle that they can't pass up and look at Sebastian Vollmer and first-round tackle X as their tackles for the future. Don't see that happening, but I do think Marquise Pouncey in the first round is a distinct possibility. Fred, thank you very much for sending us that email. Nathan from the Southern California says, hey, Brian, I asked this question to PFW yesterday and wanted to get your opinion. Assuming that we are going to keep our draft picks without trading up or down, fill in the blanks on the needs that you think the Pats should fill with the players that you think will still be available at those picks. Okay, well, here we go. I've talked about first round, Jared Audrick. Again, is that the biggest need on this team? No, the biggest needs on this team are tight end, wide receiver, an outside linebacker, in my opinion. Jared Audrick doesn't specifically fill one of those needs, but he sort of fills what that outside linebacker sort of role is. It'll help the pass rush big time. I think he's a blue chipper that I think they go with. In the second round, you got 44, you got 47, and you've got 53. Rob Gronkowski, the tight end out of Arizona, is a guy I absolutely have my eye on, and I do think they're going to take. I do think they're very interested in. The red flag with him, of course, is back surgery, which he had recently. He had tremendous production, loved what I saw out of him, 06, 07, 08, didn't play at all last year. That obviously factors into this. But if he does check out medically, I think he's an absolute target of the Patriots at 44 or 47. If he doesn't check out medically and he's way too much of a risk, I still think they go tight end. And I think Aaron Hernandez would be a guy. If not him, I think Dennis Pitta maybe more at that 53rd pick. Now, tight end doesn't solve all of their offensive playmaking needs. That's why I think Damian Williams, USC wide receiver, or Golden Tate, Notre Dame wide receiver, are guys to take with one of those other second-round picks. And then in this particular draft, where the Patriots are as far as what their picks are, after the second round, they only have one pick between the third, fourth, and fifth rounds combined. That's in the fourth round. So I think they have to go after a outside linebacker type with one of those picks. Jerry Hughes, to me, I don't think he's going to be there. He'd be the guy, but I'll go with Ricky Sapp right now. He'd be the guy that I'll go with there. So right now, Nathan, give me Jared Audrick. Give me Damian Williams, give me Rob Gronkowski, and give me Ricky Sapp if they can get those guys with those four picks. But just like Sebastian Vollmer last year, there's a guy we have not heard of probably. I shouldn't say haven't heard of. There's a guy we are not expecting that's going to go with one of those first two picks. We'll be hearing from Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly coming up in just a bit here on the Draft Room, web radio at Patriots.com. Also, 508-543-7482. Pat Kerwin from NFL.com is always a good read. Certainly has a beat on what is going on in the NFL and specifically what's going on with the Patriots. He had a mock draft that came out this week, an updated mock draft based on the Donovan McNabb trade. And he, along with Pro Football Weekly, has Russell Okung going number two to the Detroit Lions. And again, we're going to ask Eric about his thinking along those lines. And my guess, it probably has to do with, well, They've got needs on the offensive line. They've got needs on the defensive line. They've got needs a lot of places. They picked Matthew Stafford with their first pick, the first pick in the entire draft last year. You got to make sure to protect him. What's interesting about how the four-month-long draft process goes is, you know, Ndamukong Suh was the surefire number one pick way back in January, certainly after the College Bowl games, great game in the Big 12 championship game. Now it looks like he and a guy like Gerald McCoy could be slipping. Could Russell Okung be the number two pick in the draft? It seems like there's some momentum in that direction. Now, Kerwin has Sam Bradford going number one overall. I think that's a lock. I think there's no question they're going to go Bradford. They cut Mark Bulger. Should have mentioned that at the top of the show as well as far as NFL news. They cut Mark Bulger this week. Now, even if they kept Mark Bulger, there's still a need for a future quarterback. So Sam Bradford, number one overall, the St. Louis, is certainly consensus. So Kerwin has Russell Okung, then Ndamukong Suh going to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay would love this. They'd have the opportunity to pick between Suh and McCoy. Now, he's got Trent Williams going to Washington and Brian Bulaga, the Iowa tackle, going to the Kansas City Chiefs. Then Gerald McCoy going to the Seahawks. So Gerald McCoy falling to number six. That is something I haven't seen too often in too many mock drafts, if at all. Eric Berry, number seven, Anthony Davis to Oakland, number eight, Jimmy Clausen to Buffalo, number nine, and Earl Thomas to Jacksonville, number 10. Now, why do I bring up Pat Kerwin? Well, because he agrees with me. Jared Audrick, number 22 to the Patriots. The signing of Damian Lewis last week does not suggest the defensive line issues are solved, is what Kerwin says. Audrick can play in any front, 3-4, 4-3, whatever the Patriots are looking to do going forward, and should be effective. Now, in his previous mock draft, he had Jared Audrick also going first, and he's got Aaron Hernandez in the second round for the Patriots. Thaddeus Gibson, intriguing defensive end, outside linebacker, conversion type to Ohio, from Ohio State, and Tim Tebow to the Patriots later in the second round. Now, he also, which caught my eye, has Marquise Pouncey going to the Packers the next pick, 23rd. So he's got Pouncey and Audrick available when the Patriots make a pick. And having them go in the direction of Audrick. Now, as far as who might, you know, other guys that might be intrigue the Patriots, he's got Sergio Kindle going 12th overall to the Miami Dolphins. Very, very interesting right there. Should also mention this guy that has sort of flown under the radar, in my opinion, as far as guys who could be the right fit for the Patriots, but they're probably not going to go in that direction, is Dan Williams, the defensive tackle of Tennessee. And the reason they wouldn't go in that direction is, hey, Vince Wilfork is locked up. They play a 3-4 defense. Why are you going to take another big-time defensive tackle who is not a fit at end? He's a tackle. Well, listen, what if they're looking to go more 4-3? What if he's a guy they simply can't pass up? You know, they took Gerard Mayo out of Tennessee. Maybe they're getting a good perspective from Mayo on what Dan Williams can do. He's probably going to be gone by 22. But let's just not forget, they took three defensive linemen in a four-year period in the first round with Seymour, Wilfork, and Warren. Hey, you never know. You never know. I don't think that happens. You never know. He could be there. Probably won't be, but could be there at 22. Webradio at Patriots.com. 508-543-7482 here in the draft room, coming your way every Wednesday, 12 to 1 Eastern here on Patriots.com, leading up to the draft, and then 1 week after the draft, we'll be here as well to analyze and dissect what the Patriots do, and certainly what the entire NFL did on draft day. There's always going to be some surprises, and we will analyze and dissect those. We'll be coming your way next Wednesday, and then the final Wednesday before the draft, April 21st, 2 weeks from today, leading up to that draft. Now, I talked about Pro Football Weekly. Not to be confused with Patriots Football Weekly, but Pro Football Weekly. Eric Edholm, of senior editor of Pro Football Weekly, is going to be joining us hopefully pretty soon. Their first round of the mock draft has Sam Bradford, then Russell Okung, then Gerald McCoy, then Brian Bulaga, and then Ndamukong Suh. Ndamukong Suh falling all the way to number five. So some varying thoughts on Ndamukong Suh, Gerald McCoy, who goes where, who goes first, who goes second among those two. Like I said, a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, Suh and McCoy were 1-2. No questions asked. Then Sam Bradford has an unbelievable pro day by all accounts. And the quarterback needy St. Louis Rams probably looking like they're going to take him. But between offensive linemen and defensive linemen, clearly that's the strength of the top 10 of this draft, without question. There could be six offensive or defensive linemen going in the first round of the draft when you really think about it. I'm sorry, in the top 10 of the draft. Sue, McCoy, then you got Okung, Brian Bulaga, Russell, you got Anthony Davis, you got Trent Williams. Hey, Bruce Campbell to the Raiders is a guy who, you know, I'll tell you what, Todd McShay, who we had on earlier, he didn't say on this program, but I know he has said on ESPN.com, he doesn't think Bruce Campbell is a good football player at all, but he ran a 4.75 40-yard dash at the Combine about a month and a half ago, and what the Oakland Raiders often look for in the draft is speed. Could they take a guy like Bruce Campbell, kind of like Darius Heyward-Bey last year, the biggest surprise of the top half of the first round of the draft last year? Could they take Bruce Campbell based just on speed? Well, when it comes to Al Davis and the Raiders, you never know. But that's the strength of the draft, offensive tackle, defensive tackle. And, you know, I think the Patriots go in that direction in the first round, either offensive tackle or defensive tackle. And I guess we could always ask the question, what if the Patriots see a guy that they really like, either on the offensive line or the defensive line, who has fallen beyond the top 10? You know, he's there at 12. He's there at 14. Do they have the ammunition to move up and take a guy like that? Now, Sue and McCoy, they're not dropping that far. But what if the Patriots look at a guy like Brian Bulaga out of Iowa, Kirk Ferentz guy, and at 10, he's still around. 11, 12, he's still around. And they think he is a can't-miss offensive tackle prospect, and they feel as though they have the ammunition to get him. It would be completely along the, completely not along the lines of what the Patriots typically do in the draft. In fact, they've really never traded up that much in the first round. They have traded up in the first round. Ty Warren, they traded up one pick. Daniel Graham, they traded up to get. But moving into the top 10 or top 12 or even top 14 from the 22 position, that would be a surprise. But that having been said, what if the guy is there that they like? They don't forget, they've got two first-round picks next year, their own and the Raiders. I can't see them parting with one of those. But what if you get to around 12, 13, 14, and a guy that they really like has fallen, and you can move your first-round pick, one of your second-round picks, and, say, a future three, something like that? Do you do it? You know, my guess is no, based on how the Patriots tend to operate. That would be my guess. But if that guy is there, shouldn't they consider it? Should you look at 2010 as a year where we've got to take these guys now, develop them now? We have an opportunity, still a good window to win. We want to protect Tom Brady while we still have him. We think Brian Bulaga could be that guy. We're willing to part with another draft pick this year or next year to move up and get him. Something to think about. It would probably be a surprise if they did that, but it's something to think about. We're still hoping to get Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly here on the draft in the draft room. Not too late for you to chime in with your questions, your thoughts on who the Patriots need, who you know, what else might happen in the NFL draft. Webradio at patriots.com and 508-543-7482. We talked at the beginning of the show about the big NFL news, the Donovan McNabb trade, and how that's going to impact the NFL draft, and it should impact the draft right off the bat. Or maybe not right off the bat, but number four overall, and that's the Washington Redskins, who probably are not now in the market for a quarterback first in the first round now that they've traded for Donovan McNabb. And you've got to think, the situation McNabb just came from, which was a Philadelphia situation where they had drafted a quarterback in the second round 3 years ago. That guy, Kevin Cobb, is clearly itching and scratching to get in there. Probably feels as though he's ready to play and step right in. And, you know, that probably ruffled Donovan McNabb a little bit over the years. You don't think that the Redskins would trade for him and then have to deal with him looking over his shoulder immediately with an early-round draft pick? I wouldn't think so. But it certainly shakes up the draft, because now you wonder if Jimmy Clausen was the guy that the Redskins were hot after. Where does Jimmy Clausen go? Now, the possibilities, of course, are Buffalo at number 9. You've got San Francisco with a couple of first-round picks, 13 and 17. How about Denver at number 11? Don't forget, Josh McDaniels is a Charlie Weiss prototype, protege, worked under Charlie here in New England, probably keeps close tabs on Charlie and likes the system, knows the system that he runs, and that's what Jimmy Clausen ran at Notre Dame. We've seen McDaniels make so many moves at quarterback already in his short tenure with Denver, whether it be trading Jay Cutler, picking up Kyle Orton, picking up Chris Sims, and now, of course, trading for Brady Quinn. But they still don't have that quarterback of the future, that surefire quarterback of the future. And if McDaniels is there long term, you would think that he'd want to have his guy, a guy that he brings in and grooms. Maybe Jimmy Clausen is that first guy in the draft this year that ends up falling a little bit and going to sort of a surprise team. Denver's probably not a team you would think on the surface is going quarterback, and Clausen might be the only guy that would tempt Josh McDaniel and company for Denver's first pick, number 11 overall. Rob Rang is another guy whose mock drafts I like to look at. I like these guys who are year-round draft guys. Rob Rang is always at the combine. He makes some trips to pro days as well, and he has an interesting mock draft as well. Now, I'm joking here. I really am, Brian, that I'm only looking at the mock drafts who have Jared Odrick going 22 overall. Seriously, it's not just because he has Jared Odrick going to the Patriots at 22. That's not the only reason why I like his mock draft. But it's a big reason.
Is the other reason because he's going to be on this show next week?
Nice tease. Nice tease for next week's show. We are going to have Rob Rang on next week, and we can ask him. We'll make it an entire Jared Odrick 15-minute interview. But what interests me about his mock draft is, well, a few things. He's got Bruce Campbell going 8 overall, and a lot of people do. He's got a more of a of an establishment type of top half of the draft as far as Bradford, Sue, McCoy, Okung, in that order. A couple of names that stood out to me when I looked at his mock draft were Ryan Matthews going 20th overall to Houston, because Matthews, I think, is a guy who I've seen and heard a lot of Patriots observers, Patriots fans, think he'd be a great fit for the Patriots, and I do as well. I think he's a bigger back. I think he's a workhorse type of back, a very productive back, big but also has very good speed. And I think he's a guy that could intrigue the Patriots if he's there at 22. He has him going to Houston at number 20. Houston has a need there as well. But he's a guy, a Fresno State guy, that stood out to me as a possibility for the Patriots and one that could very well tempt the Patriots, I think, if he's there, but not enough to actually pull the trigger. What also stood out to me in correlation with the Pat Kerwin mock draft that I just saw is Sergio Kindle. Pat Kerwin had Sergio Kindle 12th overall, and Rob Rang has him going 31st overall to the Indianapolis Colts, which is very interesting to me. Sergio Kindle, an example of a guy that tough to get a read on because so many people have him going in a few different areas. Maybe the Patriots are tempted by him at 22 if he is there. We're going to go to the phone lines now. Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly. Sorry, Eric, because we got Patriots Football Weekly here, but it's PFW, Pro Football Weekly. He's a senior editor. He's even a Massachusetts guy as well. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
What town are you from, Eric? Is it Haverhill?
No, I grew up in Haverhill, and my folks live in Andover right now, so I try to get back at least once a year for a game and once a year to see the folks.
Fantastic. You could probably make both happen at once, right?
Yeah, it's great. And my bosses love the fact that I can stay at their place, save the hotel bill, and still make it out to a game.
Well, the schedule should be coming out, we hope, next week. Maybe we can, you can work out those fall and winter plans coming up soon. While we have you here on the show for a few minutes, we want to get your thoughts on some Patriots topics, but also the NFL. Let's just start with the NFL at large. Very interesting mock draft that you guys have on Pro Football Weekly. I'm not sure if it's you or one of the other great writers that you guys have who actually puts that together, if it's a collaboration. But yours was one of the first that I saw having Russell Okung going number 2 overall instead of McCoy or Ndamukong Suh. Why don't you explain to us your thinking as far as Okung going number 2 and then McCoy Suh later in the top 5?
Yeah, it's an interesting situation for the Lions. I mean, absolutely they need help in the defensive line and the interior. But I think Ndamukong Suh, now I know everyone probably remembers his 4.5 sack game in the Big 12 championship game. They saw he had 12 sacks on the season. But I think pro folks are looking at him and they're saying he's probably a more dominant run stopper than a pass rusher on the next level. Mm-hmm. And NFLPA people, I think, value that pass rush ability a little bit more. So that may lower his value just a little bit. Plus the fact that, you know, Jeff Backus, 32 years old, solid left tackle, actually had a pretty good season last year, but they've got to find a replacement. Okung, I think, is one of the most solid players in the draft. I mean, you can just set him and forget him. I mean, you don't have to worry about him. I think he'll be a bookend left tackle. Maybe not a Orlando Pace type of guy, maybe not a Walter Jones, but a very solid Jake Long type of prospect who I think can be very good at left tackle. So it makes some sense. Now, that was before the Rob Sims trade. They got Sims from Seattle. So that could change a little bit. I still think they're looking at both guys and you know, could end up with a defensive tackle, but Okung is a possibility too.
And now Okung going number two overall would have a ripple effect on the next couple of picks because it would leave both Gerald McCoy and Dominican Sue available to Tampa Bay, and then it might very well leave one available at number four where Washington picks. We know at this point Washington probably doesn't go quarterback. You have them going with Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I think Bulaga makes some sense. They would love to trade down. You know, they only have one pick in the top 100, and that's their number four overall choice. So, you know, now they have Donovan McNabb. They can work on that offensive line. Chris Samuel's retired. A lot of holes up front. Artis Hicks is probably a right guard. You know, I don't think they believe Stephon Heyer is a left tackle, though he could figure in at right tackle. So a lot of shifting going on up front. I think they want to get that guy in this draft. That makes some sense. If they could trade down from four, that would be the ideal situation. A team like Seattle with multiple picks, San Francisco, both could use help at tackle. I think would be interested in a trade up. You know, maybe Cleveland looking at Eric Berry would move up from seven. And I think one of those top guys would still be available. So, yeah, there is a ripple effect. I think Tampa Bay is thrilled at the idea that they may get their choice of guys,
right,
either Gerald McCoy or Ndamukong Suh.
Which is amazing when you consider a couple months ago,
yeah.
I think everyone thought Suh and McCoy 1-2 in some order without question. But now, and it certainly looks like Sam Bradford, especially after his pro day, no questions asked at this point, he's going to St. Louis?
You know, I talked to him the other day. He said he's had good meetings with the Rams. I think that workout at his pro day, he showed off a little bit. You know, I mean, not just the 50 throws they ask him.
Right.
He tacks on an extra 13. One of them doesn't connect. I think all the questions have been answered about the shoulder. He seems like a leader. I've felt that, you know, he played like a number one pick overall his sophomore season. They'll go back and look at the tape, and I think they'll feel pretty good about that. They still have the workout with him 3 days before the draft, but I think that's going to be the icing on the cake, and I think he'll be the pick.
We're talking to Eric Edholm, senior editor of Pro Football Weekly. You've got your New England ties, and I went back, actually, Eric, and I looked at what you had projected for the Patriots for last season. Just to talk about how you definitely have you have tabs on the Patriots, you said for New England, is there enough defense? Well, to make the playoffs, yes, but to win a Super Bowl, not this season. I thought that was spot on. And because you clearly have an eye on the Patriots, I definitely want to get your sense on where they're going to go in the first round. I have your pick. You go Earl Thomas from Texas, is that right?
Yeah, that's Nolan Araki's pick. He's our draft guru around here, and I think it makes some sense. Now, the questions are, do you go safety with your top pick for a second straight year? I mean, you know, Thomas has some versatility. There's some people who think he can be a corner. You know, he's going to factor in as maybe a blitzer, a nickel guy. He could probably play inside and cover those slot receivers. So he's got some flexibility. Question on him, height, 5'10". I mean, is he a guy that can stack up as a normal safety? I know they're kind of interchangeable in that defense. I mean, you don't technically have a box guy and a free safety, but with Chung and Merriweather and Earl Thomas, a little bit of question there. I think they have the luxury of going best player available at that spot, and I think there's going to be a very talented football player at 22.
What would you say, and Patriots have that first pick, that first round pick, and then three in the second round, how would you really rank their needs, maybe their top three needs, and among those top three needs, who would you say are the best fits for those needs?
Yeah, I mean, their top needs may not exactly fit who they take with that top pick. I mean,
right.
And that's the luxury they have with the 3 second rounders that, you know, their top need might be a tight end. And,
right.
And yet, do they reach on it? Not reach, but do they take a Jermaine Gresham there? It's questionable. It's hard to say. I think wide receiver has to be up there. Randy Moss, final year of his deal. Wes Welker coming off the injury. Brandon Tate coming off the injury. You know, how much can you depend on guys like Edelman and such? So I think wide receiver is a very likely possibility. Demaryius Thomas is there. And you know, hey, Dez Bryant has been sliding, and it wouldn't stun me if he was there at that pick. So, and he's the kind of guy that even with character questions, I think Bill Belichick, you know, has the ability to kind of coach him up and put him in a good position. So it could be a wide receiver. It could be a tight end. I suspect, and this is a gut feeling, it's not based on any information that I have specifically from the Patriots, but I suspect that pass rusher that everybody feels they badly need, unless Sergio Kindle is there or somebody like that, I think they're going to wait a little bit on that pass rusher, maybe go into round two.
Well, it always is a position that the Patriots have struggled to really find that, to project the right guy, and that's probably why they don't often take outside linebackers, defensive end, conversion types early in the draft. But you're obviously high on Kindle, and I've seen some mock drafts have him go as high as 12,
yep,
as late as very end of the first round. Where do you think he's going to go?
I think that's probably the range. I think 12 is probably the first spot we can project him. I think most teams see him as a 30 outside linebacker. I mean, he played down in college, but I've talked to evaluators who feel like he has even a higher upside than Brian Arakpo, who was projected to be a top 5 pick, ended up sliding to the Redskins at 12 last year, and was a defensive rookie of the year. So you know the upside is there. Now, he didn't have a great sack season. I think he only had 5.5 last year, but he was a consistent penetrator, made plays in the backfield. I think he's got the athletic ability. Pro day looked a little bothered by that hip. It wasn't quite at full strength, but you know, he's played some stand-up. He was the buck linebacker there for a while, kind of a strong side guy. He's played some defensive end. He was a team captain. Everybody likes this kid on some level, and I do think he'll end up somewhere in that sort of 12 to 25 range.
All right, Eric, every time I figure, well, okay, we can go without a Tim Tebow question here, we can go without a Tim Tebow question there, his name just keeps on popping up, whether it be emailers who are checking in with us on would the Patriots go with him late in the first round. You guys at Pro Football Weekly have him going first round, 24, to the suddenly maybe interested in a quarterback, Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, how about that?
How about that? Interesting.
It's funny. I wrote at the same time that Nolan did on my blog that I said, wouldn't it be interesting if the Eagles essentially traded Donovan McNabb for, wait for it, Tim Tebow? They
right.
could take that 37th pick
right.
and maybe use him. But Nolan says, hey, look, they've got 11 choices. They've got multiple picks in rounds 2, 3, and 4. They could afford to, I guess the word would be, reach on Tim Tebow in round 1, you know, sit him on the bench, teach him that offense, you know, let him develop, maybe use him as a specialty guy, an H-back, maybe a wildcat quarterback, although I don't think that's exactly where his strengths lie. But find ways to use him creatively, like they have with Michael Vick. And then 2, 3 years down the road, you know, as Kevin Cobb probably is entering the last year of an extension that's soon to happen, you know, it makes some sense. I mean, if you're willing to wait on him, like the Packers were with Aaron Rodgers, who had a kind of a funny delivery coming out of Cal, you may have something really special. Andy Reid, he likes winners, and I think it makes a lot of sense. So whether it's 24 or 37, I think they're a major player in the Tebow sweepstakes.
Interesting. Before we let you go, why don't you give us your guy right now who's the biggest riser in the draft and the biggest sleeper in the draft. I'm sorry, biggest riser, biggest faller right now in the first round.
I think in round one, I mean, it's really interesting to see what happens with two guys, Derek Morgan and Brandon Graham, the defensive ends. I mean, Morgan is probably a more solid 4-3 base end. I think he makes a lot of sense. But, you know, if he slides by Jacksonville, it's hard to say exactly where he's going to go. You know, he may be more of an Adewale Ogunleye type. We only get 7 to 8 sacks a year as opposed to 10 to 12. And then Graham, I mean, a lot of 3-4 teams are looking at him. He could actually pass Morgan, so that's a real interesting thing to watch. As far as sliders, it's hard to say. I mean, maybe Anthony Davis, the offensive tackle. You know, I have some questions about his work ethic. Talked to enough people that say that, look, there are some character concerns. He was never a worker in college. Even though he plays that all-important left tackle position, he may fall from, you know, at one point, you know, people consider him a top-10 possibility and maybe even a likelihood, all the way down to the bottom of the first round where a team like the Dallas Cowboys may take a take on him.
Lots more draft nuggets, news, innuendo to come. We've got 2 weeks and 1 day before draft night is with us. Eric at home, thank you very much for joining us. Senior editor of Pro Football Weekly. We'll be checking your stuff out over the next few weeks.
All right, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, Eric at home joining us here on the Draft Room as we wrap up the second edition of the Draft Room here on Patriots.com. Boy, my Pro Football Weeklies, my Patriots Football Weeklies, my Patriots.coms, they're all jumbled up in my brain. We're happy we were able to get Eric on here for the last couple minutes of this show. We will be back next week. We want to get your emails. It's never too early to send us an email at webradio@patriots.com anytime through the week, 12 to 1 Eastern next Wednesday, as we continue to close in on the draft. Thanks for joining us inside the Draft Room.